Well, we normally start out a service with some singing, but we're only going to sing one song tonight, and this song is a special song, actually. It started out with Crystal recalling having learned this song, I guess, in 11th grade when she went on a short-term mission trip to Suriname, which is the neighboring country. And I shared with you last week, or well, 2 weeks ago, I guess it was now, about Debbie and the situation that we found ourselves in dealing with a demon possession. And I missed the majority of the service, the beginning part of the service anyhow, because of that. But when she started sharing about how that song brought back memories, and she went over the words, I said, Crystal, I remember singing that song, which means that it would have been one of the very first one or two songs that we sang before I noticed the spirit taking control of Debbie. And I'm not going to lead this a cappella. I don't know that you know the song, Darla, In the Name of Jesus. You don't have to sing it. We'll sing it a cappella. We just assumed that you didn't know it. So Crystal is actually going to be the one that comes and helps sing this. But look at the words to this song. And when we realized that, I got blessed all over again. So, Crystal, if you want to begin by leading this.
So we're going to sing it at least twice. The first time, sing along what you can. Those of you who are on the trip hopefully remember a little bit of it. And if you aren't able to sing along the first time, hopefully after the first time you'll know it and you'll be able to sing the second time because it does have a catchy tune. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we stand on the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Now everybody should know it. All right, let's sing it again.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we stand on the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have the victory.
And I thought that was just so special when I realized, you know, that demon didn't know what he was getting himself into or what it was going to be facing that morning. We may have demons in this church at times. We don't know. My question that I just kept on wondering is why and how did it all occur, and, you know, what was kind of the trigger? Or those are just some of the thoughts that came across my mind until, like I say, Crystal and I were talking about that. And when I realized, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. And I just wanted to share that as kind of a postlogue to what I spoke with that Sunday that we shared. So, Andy, if you want to load the one set of a picture, the Guyana folder, which one? The cultural. When we go on these trips, there's just so many things that we see and share and experience with the team. And until you're there, we can show pictures. It's kind of like seeing people's vacation pictures. We just can't share it well enough. Those who have been on these trips have gone with us. You have a better understanding, but even at that, it's just so hard to share what it's like. But the first thing that I want to do is kind of show you a little bit of what the culture was like, and just a real brief overview of that and then go into one of the ministry areas that we had. Guyana was a country that we really didn't know a whole lot about. We knew it was east of Venezuela. We communicated back and forth a little bit by telephone, a little bit by email. But this was a face stretcher of some sort. And I'm just going to, it's hard to see back here, so I'm going to sit down here. The culture there was not as third world, I guess. I think it was a little more cultured than, or advanced than Belize. Maybe a little bit more than Honduras. But still was not fully developed like we would be experiencing around here. So you can just kind of go through these, Andy, and go to the next. The gentleman without any hair in the middle is Reverend Saheed Muhammad. He was the pastor and in charge, and this was us loading up at the airport. Coming from the cold here to the warm, it was just kind of refreshing, but yet... That was kind of what we towed along, okay? There's two pictures, this one and then the next one. You can see the canals that would run from the river back into the communities. And these canals were approximately every half mile, three-quarters of a mile on average between these canals. And they separated what was called their villages. Some of the villages would have a name, Corverton, Lancaster, just a couple that pop into my mind right now that they were names that were familiar. Other names, it might be Village 71, Village 39, Village 43. They didn't even name them, but they were just referred to as a village number. The water would come in by the tides and kind of fill up the canals a little bit, and then when the tides would go out, the plumbing was pretty much by gravity ditch. And it would flow through the ditches into the canal. The tide would go out, and they'd open the gates up, and it would pretty much flush out the system. And then when the tide would come in, they'd close the gates, and it would fill back up. So that was kind of the disposal method of the refuse water. That wasn't clean, but it didn't smell or anything like that. But of course, they didn't have the sanitary sewer systems that we have here. Okay? Next picture, if you can get it, Andy. This was just a cute little picture. In the morning, you'd see these kids walking to school. Each village had its school, and these two youngsters were walking to school. They got a kick out of their shoes. I think they were probably passed on from some older brothers, but I just found this humorous. But you'd see the kids, they were going to the schools, they'd have uniforms. You can keep going, Andy. You would see these wagons drawn by horse, and they just would haul, take it to market. There was a lot of livestock that you'd see. And this is a cemetery. And the graves are not underground. They're basically in vaults and stick above the ground. So you'd be going down through, and, you know, there you'd see these concrete blocks, and they were their cemetery. Kind of a little bit hard to get used to. You just kind of pull off the side of the road. You get, you know, a couple $100 out and exchange it. And remember, it's 201. Boy, what's the math real quick? 20,000, 200,000, 200, 20,000 back. So there were a lot of $1,000 bills, $5,000 bills, but there'd be these money changers. And that was kind of a shock to us, you know, just with the exchange of money. Now, the next couple pictures, Andy, you can just run through these. We enjoy the natural beauty of these countries, the tropics. Like I say, everything up here is cold and dead, and we get down there, and just to see the flowers and the greenery. I'm a sucker for a flower picture. And just the beauty that and the variety of God's creation. Those reminded me of a poinsettia, but it had a little yellow flower in the middle. So they just kind of caught my eye. And they people have these growing in their yards. You know, they're just some beautiful, beautiful shrubbery and flowers that you'd find in the yards. If you caught them right after a rain shower, they'd have rain droplets on them and just made really pretty pictures. The roadsides were lined with the ditches, as I said, and there were water lilies were quite prevalent growing along the roads, and we finally got a place where we could pull off and get a picture of that. But the purples and the reds and the yellows, they just would really, really blow up on you. I think that's what a hibiscus. And you saw a lot of this kind of flower, and there were so many different varieties. The fruits, this was some sort of a melon, kind of like a cantaloupe. We tried a lot of varieties of fruit. I think there's a picture, a couple pictures in the next set of slides as well. That was a melon. This was called a mommy and had an orange flesh inside and two big seeds. It was all right. This was an interesting, we called it the jackfruit. That was the word we could remember because of Jack. But it was kind of like a big seed with a creamy banana, for lack of a better word, slime, on the outside. And you would put the seeds in your mouth and suck it off. And I really enjoyed it. Crystal didn't like the texture. But they were really sweet and had a kind of a banana taste. And there was a little baby bananas and they were so good. They're just so sweet. The oranges, I don't know if you know this, but it takes cold weather to make oranges orange. So the oranges down there are kind of green in color, but you were not eating a green orange. They were very sweet, succulent. And that was awara. Nobody liked them. It was a big seed, and you just kind of sucked the outside off of it, and it left a paste in your mouth. But you would be going down the road, and there would be a hog, or you'd be going down the road, and there would be a herd of cattle coming down the road, dogs everywhere, donkeys, goats, and you would be going down the road, and they would be out on the road, and you just would blow the horn at them, and it seemed like they learned pretty quick to stay off the road or get out of the way, or that people just learn not to run over the animals. But you pretty much shared the road with everything, including other cars. It would have been interesting if we could have gotten a good video of what it was like. You drove on the left side of the road, you passed wherever you could, whenever you could, whenever you wanted to. If there was a car coming the other way, you just kind of whipped it in front of the other guy. Or the car that was coming at you would just run off on the other side of the road and would pass you as you were going on his side of the road. One time we were passing a car and it passed us as we were passing a car. So it was just a very interesting experience to ride in the bus. They say there's accidents all the time. We didn't see any, but culturally, It was a very interesting place to be. Now, Andy, I think is that the last one in that set? Oh, the dogs. Dogs everywhere, and they were skinny. Snook describes them as walking around like they owed you money. They just would hang their heads. They were very, pretty much docile. There was no aggression in them. And I honestly don't know if any dog belonged to anybody else. They all seemed to hang around in an area. They'd sometimes run in packs, but with the animals, the horses, and we said, well, who knows whose livestock it is? Well, at night, they all go back home. So they would go out, and they would feed, and they would just kind of range around. The dogs were kind of the garbage disposals, actually. I think they would be in the trash as people would throw stuff out, and they'd eat the food particles out so that it was just basically paper. Guyana's not a clean country. A lot of the countries down there, they don't have the concept of not littering, but have a tendency to throw things out. There, if you want to buy some lamb or some ducks, there they are. It's 85, 90 degrees, no refrigeration, but there they would be just kind of out in the marketplace, right, waiting for you to buy. Head and all. That's you walked away. Those fish were probably, well, you can see a guy standing there. They were probably about 4 foot long, just laying on a table in the marketplace. And it was 3, 4, 5 tables probably. And probably the tables were almost from here to the back of the church. I don't know if there's any of the pictures that are coming up that show that. But there's fish eggs about the size of a marble that you could purchase. Chopped up fish. Like I say, it was just kind of unique that it was all laying out on tables. You wanted some fish, you kind of just whacked a piece off of it and bought it. The fruit and the vegetables, there would just be like an open market. You could stop along the road, get pineapples or bananas or any of the different kinds of fruit, and there just would be, that would be on up and down the streets all over the place, and lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. Saheed said there wasn't a whole lot of hunger there because of how much food that you may not be able to eat, you know, the duck and the chicken and so on and so forth, but the amount of fruit and vegetables that were available at a very cheap price was pretty phenomenal. I just lost the name of that root. Cassava. Cassava was one of the favorites of our team. They're kind of like a potato, a little bit different, but those long roots are cassava roots, and they eat a lot of those for their starch. I think those may be peppers. The red things are maybe peppers. They have a lot of peppers there as well. Go ahead and jump into the next one. Anybody have any quick questions on that? We can just kind of break it up. They had a cassava bread, but not. They did have some rolls and buns, but they weren't more. Their starch was pretty much this cassava and the rice. Rice. There's a lot of rice farming there. We were 40, 50 miles up the river when we went up to Orellana, and the tides were still coming up, 40, 50 miles up. So it's very flat. Pretty much, because people don't have refrigeration. So if you want it tonight for supper, you would go and you would buy it. I mean, they did have refrigerators. I shouldn't say they didn't have it, but that's pretty much the way they operate down there. Yeah. Yep. On Wednesday that we were down there, Roger and Crystal and I met up with some Gideons. And in the morning, we went, and Roger shared with that about that the other week when we went and distributed. I think at those distributions we did about 1,100 Bibles that we handed out. But then in the afternoon we met up with Saheed's church, and they were going to this church, and I don't know the name of the town. I don't know if I ever knew, but it was close to our work site. But that's a small Nazarene church in a community that was not quite as well developed. You'll see some of the pictures of houses. And Roger and Crystal and I, and you can just kind of flip through these, Andy, and I'll kind of tell the story. Roger, Crystal, and I met up with them, and Roger and I would hand out Bibles, and we were with this group of ladies. It was interesting working with a group of ladies. We, as Americans, have things all choreographed and well-timed out, and this was not so much so. So it took a little bit till we got the hang of things, but finally we were going up through them, and different types of people. We're guessing that these gentlemen here were probably drug dealers. They just lived in a little shack. They were, just by their demeanor, when we walked away, the gentleman that was one of the pastors that was with said that they were probably someone who were involved in the drug trafficking. And they weren't hostile, but they weren't as friendly as then we went around the corner. And the next group, these guys, they came out, and they were really excited. They were happy to talk to us. The first thing they asked us, are you Jehovah's Witnesses? And we said, no, we're not. We're from the Nazarene Church. And so then they were willing to talk with us. And our intention was to hand out one Bible per household, because we were carrying them, you know, down the street by hand. We weren't with the bus was parked, So we couldn't carry, you know, a Bible for everybody. So we generally were saying one Bible per household, but these, they, you know, they all three wanted, all four, I guess, wanted one of the Bibles. So we gave them to them, not a problem. But they were very happy. And what we were doing, there was a function coming up at that small church. It was kind of like a community event where they were going to have food and games and free clothing and some different things. And we were going around inviting people to that get together. So 15th. Was the 15th or 16th. But right after we left them, the two gentlemen in the white on each side of the blue and white stripe, there were the Mormons doing the same thing. So a lot of religion down there, a lot of different groups, but it was just kind of funny. We went out around the corner and there were the Mormons. But both Roger and I, this is Roger, and then the next picture is a picture of myself praying with, every once in a while, it just felt like we could pray for the guy. And this guy was big. I mean, he was a big fellow. And I just went over and I just gave him a script. You know, would you want a Bible? Almost everybody took a Bible. And I said, you know, can I pray for you? And sure, boy, he reached out. We grabbed hands and we just had a prayer with him. Again, you know, you can see the houses were these were probably some of the poor people there, but the church was there in the community, and I'd say there was probably about 3, 4, 5 streets in width, and maybe streets are maybe a half mile long, so that gives you kind of an idea of the size of the community. But they would go up to the house, and they'd say, inside, inside, and that was kind of their way they rung their doorbell, by saying, inside. And then somebody would come out and, moment please, and then they would come out and talk. But that was kind of the way they did things there. This was kind of our goodbye team as we were leaving. Here come a whole herd of goats going home, coming down the street. Now that's one of my delightful moments. I love mangoes. And the mangoes down there were just so sweet and so delicious. And then, if you want to go to the next picture, sometimes you would get something that was sour. And I can't remember what they called that thing, but it must have been pure citric acid because it was sour. Tamarind. But yeah, it was pretty sour. So, is that the last one, Andy? We're going to take up an offering, and during the offering, Crystal is going to play a video of Crystal. At Oriella, where we went upriver into the little jungle village with the Amerindians, we were able to go in and share with the school and then the kids there. And some of you are involved with making faith bracelets, salvation bracelets. And as Crystal shared with that, somebody videotaped it. And so we'll share that. And if the ushers will come, we'll take our offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for all that you've given and done for us. We're so thankful to live in a country that we do. But Lord, we know that we have brothers and sisters that are spread across the world. We're thankful for this church, for the care and love that it extends to the worldwide church. We just ask that you would provide the ways and the means that we would be able to continue to minister to our brothers and sisters across the world. We'll give you the praise. We just ask you to bless this offering, help it to be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. Amen.
So I'm going to be sharing about two things. The first thing I wanted to share about a little bit was it reminded me of VBS. I called it God sightings. God sightings being times when you just notice that there's God's present and something's going on that God ordained or God put together. So this is our team. Before we left, this was our group picture, kind of showing where we're going to be going. And one of the things about God sightings, I oftentimes think about some of the things that we go through on these trips and why God seems to point them out or show them differently. And I do think it's because he wants to build our faith. Some of these are actually ongoing prayer requests, if you can remember to pray for some of them. The first thing I wanted to talk about was something that we mention oft times is the composition of our team. So this is our team on the work site, and we were eating, all enjoying mangoes, which was nice. But the composition of our team is always amazing to me, how God just puts it all together. So, you know, first of all, this team, like many of the teams, were willing to rough it, and that was important for this trip. It was a blessing that we could provide and be able to go to the Indian village where, you know, sometimes, you know, people go along and roughing it comes tough. We had a painter, a pastor, who loves to paint. And basically our team, a lot of us were not real high skill construction people. So painting was right down our alley. Roger was along, Scott's brother, and he was especially good with concrete work. And also with all the witnessing that we ended up doing, he was very accustomed to witnessing with his Gideon work. And so, you know, between that and passing out all the Bibles, you know, he was key to the trip. Scott and I, not only are we also Gideons and help to pass out Bibles, but our experience that we had with spiritual warfare, both he and I, me from my days with my mom and dad being missionary, and him from some previous experiences, had a lot of experience in dealing with spiritual warfare. And then the overall spiritual growth needs of each person that went along on the team is always interesting to me, too. It seems like the Lord brings along the experiences that each of us need to help us grow. The next picture was Foot. This was actually the guy in Guyana that was the Gideon that we connected with. And he came out to the bus the morning that we were going to go pass out Bibles and showed us his toe. And here a rat had bitten through his mosquito net and was biting on his toe. So me and Sue being the missionary or the nurses on the trip, it just right before we left on the trip, I decided just in case we got separated, I really should have some medical supplies with me too. And so I went to the store and a couple of the things that I got came in very handy. This was one of the times I had gotten some betadine, povidine iodine, which is what they use in the emergency room for, you know, different kinds of cuts and whatnot, and would be very good to help with healing something like this. And then I had also picked up some stuff for burns. At least that was one of the things that it was good for. And as it all turned out, Matt had done something. I won't share what it was, but he ended up kind of having a burn on his face that came in handy. And so it's just another example. It's interesting how the Lord prompts you for things that you need to do. The next picture is of the backside. I don't have a picture of the front side, but that white building that says Rotary Club. On the front side was little shops where the kids could come out and get different things, food for lunch, I'm assuming, is part of it. And we handed some Bibles to some folks there. And the one girl that I picked to give a Bible to, I walked up to her, and she was a little bit reluctant to take the Bible. And I noticed she had a dot right in the middle of her forehead. And I thought, oh, you know, she's probably Hindu. And I didn't give her a chance to say no. I just went ahead and handed it right to her. So there's a prayer request. Who knows how the Lord's going to use that Bible, and at least it's in her hands. And then the next picture, right after that school where we were, I came out to get back in the bus, and I saw these guys holding a ladder down further down the street. And I went over and gave each of them a Bible and was walking away, and I heard this voice, "Can I have one too?" Here there was a guy up the ladder, and he was specifically asking, could he have one too? Who knows how the Lord will use that, but he definitely was seeking God's word. Then the next couple pictures are of some of the hotels that we went to. And the reason I mean, we did share a little bit about this, but the reason I wanted to put a couple slides in here is because we learned later that a couple of these were actually houses of ill repute. Basically, they had rooms that were available for things that are inappropriate. And this was one of them, the Mahogany Inn. And right after we arrive there, you can go to the next picture, on the other side of the street were a couple people outside. And, of course, we were in the mode of handing out Bibles, so we handed them some Bibles. And the one guy in particular caught my eye, the one sitting on the wall now. He, when we went to take a picture, you know, he wasn't really interested in the picture. He did, I believe, take a Bible, but he just seemed a little reluctant. Again, the reluctance is always your clue that, you know, they're probably somebody we need to be praying for. Then we went on in to the hotel to pass out the Bibles, and as soon as we got in there, I wondered if it wasn't, what we ended up learning, the type of establishment that it was. So this is, you can go through the next couple of pictures. They were talking just to be sure it was okay for us to pass out Bibles, and it took a little bit because I'm not sure the guy was that excited about it. And I saw a picture on the wall, and I was like, oh, boy, I know what kind of place this is. After we got done passing out the Bibles, I especially wanted you to take notice in the lower, well, about the middle bottom. Do you see right there, there's some people. These were the staff that work at the hotel, and they specifically asked the Gideon guy, if they could have Bibles. And they took quite a few, but they specifically asked if they could have them. Who knows how the Lord's going to use those Bibles? Then the next place, this was also a place that was not a good place. And we found out later, nothing struck me when I was there. But later on, behind, you can't see her, but behind the red grid is the lady. And she wouldn't come out. I thought it was kind of interesting that even though it was open, it was kind of like shut down. Like she wouldn't come out and she wouldn't let us in. You can go on there. You can see her, but her name's Rosa. So if you think of Rosa, you can pray for Rosa. And then the last place is La Grille. And this was interesting. When we stopped here, there was some guys out in front of the hotel. And interestingly enough, I mean, we were walking up to pass out Bibles, but they just started a conversation, and it was on spiritual things. This was the one guy, and that guy especially was having quite the discussion with Roger on spiritual things. It was he almost seemed like he needed to talk, in interest in finding out more information. Who knows how the Lord will work in his life based on our sharing. And then the last one is a little bit out of place. It was actually at the end of our trip. And those of you that I've shared with before, when we go on these trips, I started several trips ago where I have a special Gideon Bible that I take in my purse, and I seek the Lord's guidance for who I should give it to sometime on the trip. Well, this was one of those trips where I just never really felt that the Lord wanted me to give the Bible to anybody. And I thought, you know, of course you digest things like that, and I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe it's just because we gave so many Bibles, you know, it just seemed like we were giving Bibles all the time, and therefore, you know, I missed it, or I just didn't feel impressed for whatever reason. Well, we happened to be in the airport on the way home, and I was responsible to sit with the luggage, and everybody else was up getting the luggage off the rotating thing. And I knew Pastor had met this guy. I didn't share this with you, but I knew Pastor had met this guy that didn't have hands and that he was over helping him. I knew that because he told me where he was going. And Roger had come away and said he was going to see what was going on with Roger. And all of a sudden, I remembered the Bible in my purse. And I thought, oh, maybe he's the one. And I just gave the Bible to Roger. I said, please give this to Pastor in case he feels it's appropriate that he has a Bible to give, because the Bibles were packed. And sure enough, Pastor did give the Bible. I don't know why he was the one, but God prompted me to give the Bible. So pray for him. I don't know his name. I don't know if you know his name. Just the guy without hands. So I want to share, too, a little bit about the Indian village, and Andy, you can keep these going pretty quickly. This one, this is the area that we were in, Georgetown, New Amsterdam, and then you see Corvertin. In the lower left corner, I have it magnified, so go ahead and hit enter. Right there is Georgetown. We flew into there. Go ahead again. We went to Corvertin. That's where we stayed. And we worked in New Amsterdam. So you can kind of see where they're located. And when we went to the Indian village, go ahead, we went to Oriella, which was up that river. So we traveled, go ahead again, we traveled up that river in the boat. So that kind of gives you a perspective of where we went. Good. So we were traveling and looking across, there was Suriname. And as you can tell from the map, we had Suriname on one side, Brazil at the other end of the river. We had just left Guyana, and Venezuela was above us. So we kind of had the countries on all sides when we were on the river. This is where we left from. It was kind of like a shipping yard, barge yard of some sort, and had a lot of wood. They must have been doing wood milling there. Of course, we took all kinds of stuff, including guns. Pastor was enjoying the guns, which you'll maybe see later. And we went in Noah's Ark, too. That was our boat. And to give you an idea, I'm glad it was called Noah's Ark. You'll see how big it was. Look at that size. And we had 10 of us, plus people, workers that were going along, plus all of the supplies and luggage. I mean, it was really weighed down. So we were loading up, and it was interesting trying to get down over there into the boat. But we successfully loaded everybody and took off. This was our boat driver, captain. And this is all of us. We were really packed in there. And that's pretty much the extent of our room. You can see how close we were sitting, our legs together. And the water was dirty, and it was rough at times. Pastor was enjoying himself. There was a saying that was on the side: when you're in the sea, you are dead. When you're in the sky, you are dead. When you're in Noah's Ark, you are alive and well. And I was glad to be in Noah's Ark. Pastor and Tim really enjoyed the jet ski. This was a special treat, and they had to drive it all the way up the river and all the way back down the river. So they were enjoying themselves. This was a place we stopped along the way, and there was orchard there, because I actually couldn't get out of the boat. There was a rainstorm that hit right around then. So a lot of these pictures are from other folks, and you can just breeze through them, Mandy. But it wasn't the best house, but it was their house, and they very freely shared what they had. And so I know the guys had gone out and walked around and got oranges from the tree, because they came back with a whole bucket load of oranges, and we got to eat those kind of on our trip as a treat. And boy, were they good. And this was getting back on the boat. I mean, that's how you got into the house and back to the boat. So, you know, it wasn't like you had fancy accommodations. So we finally made our way up the river, and this is what we met when we got there. You know, there was people out along the river washing clothes, washing all kinds of stuff. So they very much used the river, you know, for everyday living needs. And there you can see she's washing clothes. And needless to say, as Scott said, the litter was a problem. They didn't necessarily keep things that clean, even though it says do not litter. And welcome to Oriella. So this was our place for the next day. And lots of stuff to carry. We were unloading everything from the boat. And we had help, thank goodness, and you'll see why in a minute. They were loading up all the luggage. Oriella, the camp where we were at, is actually up on that hill, so you can imagine the walk that we had. And this is looking down from the other side. And we had a steep hill to climb. And right around the time when we got to the hill, it started raining. Sudden rain shower. And you can see it's really rutted from all the rain water. And while it was raining, we were some of the first ones that got up there. We stayed under this lean-to, and we're waiting for everybody else to come. Of course, Matt, he had to hang under the tree. And I was like, it's thunder, and are you sure you want to be under that tree? Nope, that's where he wanted to be. And finally, Jack and company made it up the hill. So we were camping with our friends, and some of the experiences we had, wow, just don't even have enough time to share. Some of the first things that caught my eye was, here was macaws right out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, they were out there wild. Like, these are the kinds of things you see in a zoo. And there they were. Beautiful. This was the plaque out in front of the church that was built. And it was built based on some donations from folks. And this is what it looked like.
Annie, can you back up just for a minute? Okay, I'll share at the end, but I'm going to talk a little bit about this building there with the thatched roof. So take a look at that, and at the end I'll have a little bit more to share. I just wanted to point that picture out.
So this first picture is the church and the inside of the church. And it's nice, but it's definitely nothing special. I mean, it's rustic. And this is just a lean-to that they had. This is where the ladies stayed, and the guys stayed in something similar to that. And this is what the inside looked like. It was pretty. They did have a few beds, but most of everybody slept on mattresses on the floor. And you had to take your shoes off. That was the custom. Take your shoes off to go inside. That was the courteous thing to do to keep the dirt and thing, keep it as clean as possible. And, of course, we did have to use mosquito nets. So everybody prior to this had bought a mosquito net when the decision was made for us to go up. And so everybody got those ready for the nighttime because we knew it would be dark later. And everybody was settling in, kind of feeling at home. And, of course, Pastor, the sticker pastor, he started handing out stickers. There was lots of kids, so he had the kids. This was our bathroom. As you can see, slats, and yes, we did have critters. And this was the kitchen. Nice kitchen, eh? This was the cook's house, just to give you an idea what their house might look like. And then this is back into their area, just some other side buildings that they had. And the black things, you'd see those all over the place. They used those to collect water. And we were met right at the time that they were starting to take care of the meat and get it ready for supper. We had heard that they had went out and shot deer for our supper. And they asked the guys if they wanted to help. And it didn't take long till they were in there helping. They were very accustomed to doing that back here. So, you know, I think they were a little bit surprised that they pitched right in. And so notice they had it in that little freezer, even though it was like it wasn't frozen. I mean, it was just something to keep it cool, but it was hide and all. And they use every part. These are hearts. They were cutting up hearts and kidneys and all kinds of things. And these were the spices and stuff that they put together. And there was a couple ladies there that were helping to do food preparation. And you can go a little faster, Andy. This is the way they cook. It's on these big pots out, you know, just fire and pots. And while they were cooking supper, everybody was mingling with the folks and just feeling comfortable, trying to get to know their way around. And then we had supper. And this is barbecued meat that they had made. Boy, we had way more food than we needed. And notice the cups on the hide. So needless to say, cleanliness again. This is kind of what we had then for supper. It was that and rice. This I'm going to talk a little bit about, but you can keep on going, Andy. Notice they have something on their wrists. This was a God moment for me. Before I left, I had been looking at what I was going to pack, and I happened to notice back in my bathroom, because I buy stuff ahead for the grandkids, and I happened to notice a tube of glow-in-the-dark bracelets that I had. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, I only have 15. You know, what am I going to do with only 15 bracelets? Well, I won't take it. Yes, I will. No, I won't. Finally, I decided, yes, I will. So I threw them in. Well, I don't know that I've ever had a night service before on a mission trip, but this is one time we had a night service. And we were up in this Indian village, and I thought of it when the night service time came, and I went to look, see how many kids were there, and there were about 9 that I could count. And I thought, well, if there's a couple extra, I still should have enough. So I went and got the bracelets, handed them out, and I was down to only 3 by the time I was getting close. And the one guy I was with, he said, well, can I have one? And I want one for my kid. And I was like, well, I'm really close. You know, what happens if somebody else comes? And after we got done having prayer, Pastor had another kid and said, well, do you have one? And I was like, okay, there goes one more. So I gave that one away, and I was left with 2. And nobody else came. I had exactly the 2 that the guy asked for, and I had exactly 15 that I gave away. Now, you know, how did the Lord know I only needed 15? This was the next morning. Nice sunrise. Beautiful, beautiful out over the river. And this was breakfast. This was corned mutton. I don't know that I would like to eat this for breakfast every day, but it really wasn't that bad. So we had corned mutton. And then we mingled with the folks. We had a shooting range. They really seemed to enjoy shooting the guns. And we, of course, had to hand out stickers, more stickers, 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 stickers. The kids just loved the stickers. And Matt, he went hunting buzzards, I think you guys said. He was known as the machete man. He had his machete and loved his machete. And there he's pulling sticks with machete. He was doing all kinds of stuff with machetes. And, of course, we had some more fun before we left the Indian village. There's Jack actually riding the jet ski. We were all quite amazed that he actually did it. It was like a zoo to me. And you can go through these pretty quick, Andy, because I don't have them in any certain order. But this is just some of the animals that we saw. It's quite amazing, all the animals. Just out in the wild, we would go from house to house and talk to the people. And they had them kind of as pets. Monkeys, rabbits, parrots. And Tim, he really got into getting as close as he could with the animals. So he got pretty close to these, and he also got pretty close to another monkey that was around. And like I said, this was right at the people's house, so they had them as pets. And they weren't chained either. I mean, they were just there. They were pretty friendly. Most of them. There's the monkey. And that's Tim. Having a good time. While we're going through these, does anybody have questions? This is a jaguar skin. No questions.
Yeah, they basically have American teams, or you know, they get their clothing and so on from America. So you'll frequently see, you're usually hand-me-downs. Just like when we collect clothing for the missions and ship it off, you know, a lot of times that'll have American themes or American symbols on it. So.
No.
No, they knew what the Super Bowl was, but they really didn't. That's a jaguar. Yeah, boy, I would have loved to have brought that skin home, but I'd probably still be in jail over that. Again. No, I would have loved to. Yeah, but they were just going to throw it away, but yeah. That's the outside, that's their shower.
He has his little stickers on his knees. he was a little shy. This is the prices for rice, and they kind of had places you could go to get your food. I mean, think about it. Yeah, the supermarket.
The folks there were so friendly. They were just a very, very open, very friendly people. You could go up, talk with them. What amazed me was the openness that they had to receiving the scriptures. We literally had people would stop and ask us for Bibles if they saw we were handing them out. You kind of get attached. I mean, those folks we met, you know, worked with them a little bit, and it just kind of grows on you. They're making cassava bread. It's kind of like a flat, hard bread. And the lady just took us and shared how she made it, and she was baking it on those big pans. That's Pastor Mike. He was the pastor down at the church where we worked, and very, very good guy. I like Mike.
That's the bread now that it's made. They had given us a piece to share. It's a cashew, what it looks like before we see it, and that when you pop it open, there's a half in each half. I mean, that's kind of what it looks like on the inside. This is a soursop fruit, which we didn't end up having. I think it wasn't ripe or something. And that's the awara again that we didn't like. And that's what it does to your teeth.
That's why we didn't like it.
So then the last thing we were going to share a little bit about is the primary school. So we arrived at the primary school, and it was a long path. It was dirt. All of us had to trek quite a ways, and we took Bibles for them. We took the salvation bracelets, and then we had lots of candy that we could hand out.
That's the trail where you walk back to the school.
And this is the school from a distance. Notice you can see through it. I mean, it is kind of open. Because of the heat there, that's just the way they build their buildings. Most of the time they're open. And they were looking for us. They were, you know, they could see us coming. And we were met by those two girls that we talked about on Sunday who were like
school
short-term,
teachers,
yeah. Short-term teachers. They were only there for a year as part of their college studies. Yeah, very young. And amazingly, we had the gun along, and the kids wanted to hold the gun. We finally let them hold the gun. You couldn't do that back here, that's for sure. And we just mingled with them for just a quick minute. He had a sticker too.
That's Pastor Glenn. That's the pastor of the Nazarene Church in Oriella.
And then we went into the school and we did the presentation that you saw a little bit of, where we told the salvation bracelet story and presented the Bibles. There was very few of them that wouldn't take a Bible. Once in a while you'd have one come through that wouldn't take a Bible, but most of them, they absolutely wanted a Bible. And then we passed out treats too. We were all lined up. Everybody had something pretty much that they gave. And they do wear uniforms. And then there were several of them that had already put the salvation bracelets together. I mean, it didn't take long till they had them together and they were wearing them. So I had them show what they had done. And they just play out in the courtyard. I mean, they do have recess. And then we headed back. And we did have an extra couple passengers on the way back in the boat. One of them, Jack, was getting to know. And I guess I just wanted to end by saying, you know, these trips, they really do draw us closer to each other. As a team, if you go with your partner as a couple, you share something in common that you just, you know, how do you describe something like that? And it does help you draw closer to God. And I was sitting in the back seat, and I just thought that was a cool picture. You know, about how it draws us closer to each other and closer to God.
Of course, when you go on these trips, they always want you to come back. There are so many places where we have the opportunity to go, so many places that people want us to come. We had a missionary here from Africa. Boy, we could use work and witness teams to go to Africa. Well, think about that. And then we had someone here from Cuba. And boy, we should go to Cuba. And then you go to Honduras, and we'll come on back to Honduras. And, of course, you know, Guyana was the same way. And it's very difficult for us to make the choice of where we go. But the one thing that kind of touched us, if you remember the picture I told you to remember, one of the things that they asked us to do was the picture alongside the church. It had the thatched roof, the palm thatched roof. They would really like a roof on that church, or on that, it's like a pavilion. It's their camp. They refer to it as their camp. So I think they go on a retreat up there and have like camp meeting at that location. And so that's something that we've been kind of kicking around as a possibility for the future. I just want to thank you guys so much. You guys, I don't know if you really can comprehend how much we as a team appreciate the support that you guys give. These are not empty thank yous. They are very heartfelt thank yous that we want to express to you guys, because we know that you help us, that you support us with your prayers, with our fundraisers, with donations that you make. That allows us to do many great and wonderful things. We struggle with where to go, but yet we know that where we go is where God wants us to go, and you guys are behind us 100%. As we continue with our work and witness projects, we do want to make an open invitation. If you see or have any interest of going along, talk to us. Next trip is the end of January, beginning of February of 2015 to Honduras. And it's a trip that will be accommodating to both men and women. Snook can tell you more about it, the name of the town and a little bit more detail on it. But the invitation is there. If you start now, you can start saving up. I tell people budget $1,000 to $1,200 will cover your cost to go. And I'm telling you, it will change your life. Roger, my brother, knew my brother all my life. But I also knew what his personality was and what impact it would make on him. And he was a little reluctant to go at first. But we were at a family gathering, I guess, last weekend. And Crystal just kind of chuckled and nudged me. You know, he's still just, anybody who will stand still, you know, he's telling him about Guyana. And it, you know, he'll tell you, it changed his life. It did me. 2007 was my first trip. And it was like, you know, should I go or shouldn't I? Well, even though I haven't gone every year, you know, I'm part of the team because I'm supporting it. If you can find it within your means, I would definitely encourage you to explore. If you can't go, here's something else that I'd like for you to consider. One of the things that we've talked about, we sometimes have people who struggle with the financial ability to go but would love to go. I would like for you to consider that at times. God opens doors, God provides, but somehow he always seems to have the right people at the right time, and who knows, maybe you're that right person for the project that's at hand. So consider that. Like I say, we just so much appreciate all that you've done. And if we have a couple minutes yet, anybody have any questions or anything that you'd like to get clarified, or generally on this trip, or play with? No, it was just they took the guns along up for us to shoot, and they didn't realize they were dealing with a bunch of rednecks, I guess. They said, you can go over and watch them skin the deer. You know, you can help if you want to. They didn't know that we do that, you know, on a normal basis. And, of course, it was just yeah. Yeah, they think had a different mentality of what Americans were. They would ask questions about us, you know, because they have their, huh? Oh, it was their guns, yeah. Yep. Yeah, yeah. It was interesting to me as well, the different cultures that were there. The food was kind of Indian. We didn't talk a whole lot about the food, but, man, we got treated like kings. Every time you turned around, you know, they were trying to bring you fruit or trying to get you to eat something. But the food was really a neat experience as well. Any other questions? You think of anything? Corner somebody that's been there, that went along? Yeah, that was a really neat story. When you get in talking with these people, they just tell some really, really neat stories. I think it took them, what, one day? I mean, basically, he said you can have it the next day. He had a document and basically a deed and donated the land for the church. So it was, these people, they take Christianity very seriously. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you. That's a smattering of, I think it was like 2,000 pictures that we had, or maybe more. But it's kind of, you know, in my mind, but it's fun just to go back and look at them. Try it, you'll like it. All right, thank you. Have a good night.